Okay, so get ready, because we are diving deep today into a topic that's really, really complex and also super important, racism. And we're going to go way beyond just like the surface level stuff. You know, we're going to explore how Catholic social teaching can help us understand and address it. It's kind of like this hidden toolkit full of insights that you might not expect.
Yeah, and what's so fascinating to me is how the church just doesn't hold back when it comes to condemning racism. It's considered a very serious sin, like a direct offense against God.
It's a huge deal, yeah.
And this stance, it's really rooted in that fundamental belief that every single human being is equal in dignity because we're all created in the image of God.
That's powerful. It's not just like empty words either. The source material is just packed with these strong statements, like Pope Francis saying that we cannot tolerate or ignore racism in any form, and Pope John Paul II straight up calling it a sin.
Right. And it goes beyond just like individual statements, too. You know, the church also echoes the UN Convention's declaration that any doctrine of racial superiority is scientifically false, morally wrong, and socially dangerous.
So it's aligning with this broader understanding of human rights and equality. It's not just a religious viewpoint.
Exactly.
So we've got this firm condemnation of racism. But how does the church actually define it? The source material uses this phrase, contempt for a race characterized by its ethnic origin, color, or language. It seems pretty straightforward, but I feel like there's got to be more to it than that.
You're right. It goes so much deeper than just those overt acts of discrimination. Racism, it can like seep into societies and even into individuals in these really subtle ways. Like, think about those jokes that make you cringe because they're punching down at someone's ethnicity, or, you know, that feeling of being excluded from a group just because of your background. Have you ever experienced anything like that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think most of us have come across those subtler forms of racism, even if we didn't always know how to label it at the time. It's almost like this virus that can spread without us even noticing.
That's such a good analogy. And what's really interesting is that the source material specifically calls out what it calls troubling new manifestations of racism. They mention things like critical race theory, Black Lives Matter, and the concept of equity.
Okay, so now we're getting into some territory that could be kind of controversial.
Yeah.
It's really important to remember that the church isn't necessarily like condemning these movements outright. But there is definitely a call for caution.
Right. There's this deep concern in the church about preventing a cycle of violence and counter-racism. And there's this one line that I think is so powerful. It says, the church is concerned with preventing victims from having recourse to violent struggle and thus falling into a racism similar to that which they are rejecting.
So basically fighting fire with fire isn't the answer.
Yeah.
But then what is the alternative? What does the church suggest as like an antidote to something as deeply rooted as racism?
That's where Catholic social teaching comes in with this super powerful trio of principles, human dignity, solidarity, and subsidiarity. Now, they might sound a little bit academic at first, but trust me, they have some really practical implications for how we deal with issues like racism.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Let's break down each of these principles one by one, starting with human dignity. What does that actually mean, and how does it connect to fighting racism?
It all starts with recognizing that inherent God-given worth that every single person possesses, regardless of their race, their background, anything. The source puts it so beautifully, emphasizing that no one can take away our inherent dignity.
I love that. It's so simple, but so profound.
It's a powerful reminder that we are all fundamentally equal in the eyes of God.
I like that. So how do we move from this beautiful concept of dignity to like actually taking action to combat racism? Is that where solidarity comes in?
Exactly. Solidarity is all about recognizing our interconnectedness as human beings and actively working for the common good, especially for those who are most vulnerable. The source material actually states that solidarity is the only path forward. It's what leads us out of what it calls the complete moral bankruptcy of racial prejudice.
So it's not just about being nice to each other. It's about actively working to dismantle those systems and structures that keep perpetuating inequality. That's a pretty tall order.
It is, but the church believes it's absolutely essential. And this brings us to that third principle, subsidiarity, which I think often gets overlooked.
Okay, I gotta admit, subsidiarity isn't exactly a word I throw around in everyday conversation.
Right.
Break it down for me. How does it fit into this whole toolkit for combating racism?
Well, think of subsidiarity as basically empowering individuals and communities to address issues at the most appropriate level. It's about emphasizing local control and participation. There's this really striking quote that says, no power has the right to deprive people of their full sovereignty.
So instead of like a top-down approach, it's more about empowering communities to be the agents of change from the ground up. That's a really interesting perspective. But how does that play out in the real world when we're talking about something as widespread as racism.
Yeah, that's where the rubber meets the road, right? We need to go beyond just the theory and actually see how these principles translate into real action and change. And that's exactly what we'll be exploring next. You know, it's one thing to understand these principles like in our heads, but it's a whole other thing to actually see them in action. So let's kind of shift gears here and explore how these ideas translate into, you know, like real tangible efforts to combat racism.
Yeah, that's what I'm really curious about. Mm-hmm. How do we bridge that gap between these big ideals and the messy reality of actually tackling a problem that's so deep-rooted?
Well, the church advocates for a two-pronged approach, practical action and spiritual transformation. They kind of go hand in hand.
Okay, I like that. Let's unpack that. What does that practical side look like?
Think about things like education, promoting diversity, fostering intercultural dialogue. You know, the source material really emphasizes how important it is to educate people, to actually appreciate the complementary diversity of different cultures.
So it's not just about like tolerating differences, but actively valuing them and learning from them.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that our differences, they actually make us stronger, not weaker. And this really ties back to that idea of solidarity, you know, recognizing our shared humanity, even in the midst of our differences.
That makes a lot of sense. But what about the spiritual side? How does that play into addressing racism?
Well, the church really believes in the power of conversion, you know, like genuine change of heart. Mm-hmm. It preaches love. It appeals to our moral conscience, and it advocates for prayer as a force for transformation. It's about recognizing that inherent dignity of every single person as a beloved child of God.
You know, it's so easy to get caught up in like the political and social dimensions of these issues that we forget about the power of personal transformation.
Right. But it's crucial, though, because if we only focus on changing laws and policies without addressing like the root of prejudice in our own hearts and minds, then we're only treating the symptoms and not the actual disease.
That's a really powerful way to put it. It's about recognizing that lasting change. It requires both individual and systemic transformation.
Exactly. And those three principles we talked about, human dignity, solidarity, and subsidiarity, they provide the framework for both of those types of change.
You know, there's this one quote from the source material that really stood out to me. It's like a hidden gem. It says, "As God's sun shines on every human face, so his law knows neither privilege nor exception."
It's such a beautiful image. It really speaks to the universality of God's love and justice reaching every single person without any bias or favoritism.
It's almost like a challenge to examine our own biases and prejudices, you know, to question those systems that keep perpetuating inequality.
It is a call to action for sure. It reminds us that faith isn't just a set of beliefs. It's a way of life that should transform how we interact with the world and with each other.
So how do we actually live this out? What does it look like to actually embody these principles and create that more just and equitable society that's grounded in these timeless principles?
Well, it starts with taking those principles and turning them into concrete actions.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. For instance, solidarity. It's not just some feel-good concept. It's about actively supporting those who are marginalized and facing injustice. Think about the civil rights movement. It was fueled by people of different backgrounds coming together, recognizing their shared humanity and working together to dismantle segregation.
That's a powerful example of how solidarity can translate into real-world change.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just people of faith, right?
Exactly. People from all walks of life joined that movement, driven by this shared commitment to justice and equality. It shows that these principles, they resonate far beyond any one religion or ideology.
So it's not about converting people to Catholicism, but rather inspiring them to embrace these universal values that can lead to positive change. It's about building bridges, fostering empathy, and working together.
You got it. It's about creating a world where everyone feels valued and respected regardless of their race or ethnicity. And that's a vision worth striving for, but it requires a real shift in perspective.
What do you mean by that?
It's not enough to just passively agree with these teachings. We need to actively embody them in our daily lives and how we treat others in the choices we make as individuals and as a society. It's about moving from theory to action.
So it's not just about changing the world out there. It's about changing ourselves from the inside out.
Right. Confronting our own biases and committing to being a part of the solution.
But that can feel really overwhelming. Where do we even begin?
You know, it's not about having all the answers or doing everything perfectly. It's about taking those first steps, even if they seem small. It's about educating ourselves about the history and the ongoing realities of racism.
So reading books, having those tough conversations, getting uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly. It's about actively listening to the experiences of those who have been marginalized and learning from their perspectives. And it's about using our voices and our resources to advocate for just policies and holding those in power accountable. Remember that principle of subsidiarity. It calls for action at all levels.
So it's not just about individual actions. It's about that collective effort.
Yeah.
Voting, supporting organizations that are on the front lines of fighting racism.
Yeah.
But isn't it a bit idealistic to think we can actually achieve true equality in today's world? I mean, we've been battling racism for centuries.
It's definitely a long-term struggle, and there will be setbacks along the way. But I refuse to believe that progress is impossible. History has shown us time and time again that change is possible when people of good conscience come together and demand it. And we can draw hope and inspiration from those who have fought for justice before us.
Yeah, you know, thinking back to that quote about God's sun shining on everyone equally, it really underscores that idea that we're all in this together.
Absolutely. It reminds us that we're all connected and that working towards a more just and equitable world, it benefits everyone. And that brings us back to the core of those Catholic social teaching principles, doesn't it? Human dignity, solidarity, and the power of communities to create change.
This whole conversation has been such an eye-opener for me. It's really challenged me to think more deeply about these issues and how I can be a more effective advocate for change.
I think that's the beauty of these teachings. You know, they provide both a moral compass and a practical toolkit for navigating complex issues like racism. And they offer a path forward, a way to create a better world that's grounded in these timeless principles. It really does feel like we've been given this incredible roadmap for like creating a future where racism isn't just condemned, but it's like actively dismantled.
Yeah.
Where it's replaced by a society that's built on those core principles of respect, dignity, and genuine solidarity.
And what's so powerful is that this roadmap, it's not exclusive to any one group.
Right.
It resonates with people from all walks of life who believe in the inherent worth of every human being. It's like this open invitation to join the movement for change.
Exactly.
I think one of the most crucial things we can do is to just keep educating ourselves and others about the history and the ongoing realities of racism. Mm. You know, it's not enough to just say we're against it. We have to understand how deep and complex this problem really is.
Yeah, absolutely. Education is key. It helps us to recognize and challenge our own unconscious biases, to really grasp the systemic nature of racism and to come up with effective strategies for dismantling it. And it goes beyond just reading books and articles.
Right. It's about engaging in those honest, sometimes uncomfortable conversations with people who have different lived experiences than our own.
Yeah, those conversations are where true understanding and empathy can start to grow.
Yeah.
They can be challenging, but they're so essential for building bridges and creating meaningful change.
This deep dive has been such a journey of understanding for me. It's challenged my assumptions, broadened my perspective, and honestly, it's left me with a renewed sense of hope that change is possible. What's the one thing you hope our listeners take away from all this?
I hope they walk away feeling empowered, not overwhelmed. You know, the church's teachings on racism, they're not just a list of rules. They're an invitation to actually participate in this ongoing work of building a more just and equitable world. It's a call to action that resonates with people of all faiths and backgrounds who believe in the inherent dignity of every human being. So let's go out there and be the change we want to see, armed with these powerful principles and a heart full of hope.
That's beautifully said. And to our listeners, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep those conversations going. Never stop learning and challenging yourselves and each other. Let's build a future where racism is nothing more than a dark chapter in our history books.